Good morning. Welcome. So glad to have you joining us for church this morning. Wherever you're at, whatever the situation you find yourself in, we're glad that you're choosing to dial in this morning to what God might have for you and just to join us for worship as we praise his name together from all across this nation, all across this world as others gather in his name. Isn't it cool to know that you're not alone? And some of you might feel that aloneness. Some of you might like the aloneness, like introverts, you know, you're loving it. But man, I know for the majority of people, we just miss the gathering together. Our hearts go out to you. Our prayers go out to you. We just say, hang in there and continue to reach out. Reach out to those that you can through phone, through FaceTimes. That we will remind you, we have lots of great small groups, couples groups, women's groups, men's groups that you can get connected with during the week and growing in the Word together, studying, praying together. And those are great opportunities to, again, get some of that fellowship coming back. It's not ever going to be quite the same, but I'm telling you, it's for those that have been doing it, it's a blessing. And I just say thank you. Thank you for all those that have been just faithfully giving of tithes and offerings, just your out of your generosity of your hearts just to give even above and beyond for things like the food bank downstairs. It's been unbelievable to see, not only in finances, but in people and volunteers, the support that's coming out through this church and through the community to serve people in a time such as this. And so we just say thank you and just continue to pray blessing on you that the Lord will provide for your needs. And as he's doing that for us, that we can look for ways to be able to meet the needs around us. Well, we right now just want to turn our hearts to praise and worship in this place. So let's lift our voices to him.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. Oh, 'cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir. Together. Choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful.
joy. That's right. Lift and praise to him this morning. He deserves it all. Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow tries to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. Yeah, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I longer has a place to hide. For I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. No, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. Every chain. There's power that can empty out the grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. For there is power that can break off every chain. There's power that resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. There's power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I I me stay a captive. You couldn't stand to see my chains, so you came to be my rescue, to part the waters in my way. Jesus, you are my deliverance, from death to life, from dark to light. Jesus, you show me what freedom is when you call my name and you broke my chain. You are my deliverance. You wouldn't let me stay in judgment. You took the wrath that I deserve. Your outstretched arms became my rescue. Your blood has told me what I'm worth. Jesus, you are my deliverance, from death to life, from dark to show me what freedom is when you call my name and you broke my chain. You are my deliverance. You are my deliverance. Oh. Your love defeated the enemy. Your love defeated the enemy. Now there is victory ahead of me. There's no looking back, no looking back. Your love defeated the enemy. Your love defeated the enemy. Now there is victory ahead of me. There's no looking back, no looking back. Your love defeated the enemy. Your love defeated the enemy. Now there is victory ahead of me. There's no looking back, no looking back. Your love defeated the enemy. Your love defeated the enemy. Now there is victory ahead of me. There's no looking back, no looking back. Deliverance. You are my deliverance.
deliverance.
Good morning, Avalon Community Church, and thank you, each and every one, for joining with us this morning. We love you all. We miss you all, and we're praying for you all, and we look forward to the time, which is getting ever closer, to when we'll join together bodily as the body of Christ and join our voices together, giving our God the praise that he so deserves. Pray that that'll happen soon, and praise God, because it is getting closer. Well, thanks again, John and the worship team, for the preparation of our hearts through leading us in worship. You're amazing, and we thank God for you all. Thanks also to those serving our God through serving the community of Avalon during this time of need. And a special shout out to the food ministry team and all those involved in donation for the food and collection and distribution of the food. How can anyone not believe our God is good? Amen. You are all so amazing. But what I find particularly unamazing and unbelievable about these times is that we have all this time on our hands, and yet there are no sports. No sports to play, no sports to watch. It's almost unbearable. Well, we just had March without its madness. Pro baseball without opening day hype and first pitches. April without the Masters tournament. May, they canceled the surfing and beach volleyball at Huntington Beach. June, without a possibility of a Raptors repeat in the NBA or without a Stanley Cup hoisted overhead in the NHL. And July, no Olympics. No Olympics. We need those Olympics. There is nothing to be happy about. There is definitely no joy in Mudville. And it's Mudville everywhere. They better not take away football, pro or college. You know, one of the reasons so many of us love football is because we could just let it all out during a football game. When the Rams or the Trojan USC, whoever our favorite team is, when they score a touchdown, we jump, we shout, we scream, we cheer. And it feels so good, doesn't it? And man, do we ever need to let it all out right now? Amen. Well, I hope that's actually what you just did in these last minutes as John and the worship band led us so well in worship. Thanks again, John. You know, letting go is a part of what worship's all about. Praise and exaltation and heartfelt thanks and appreciation for all that God has done for us. And he has done it all for us. And Psalm 100, as we're in this series on Psalms, Psalm 100 is the psalm we're going to look at today, and it tells us the way that God wants to be worshipped. And that is the way, all out, letting it all out, giving him all the praise, the glory that we can. So let's open our Bibles to Psalm 100, and I want you to, what? What? Some of you don't have your Bibles in front of you? Okay, away they. All right, put me on pause, go and get them, and meanwhile, I'm going to thank God for being here with us. And Lord, we do give you thanks, and I thank and praise you for each and everyone gathered this morning to learn more on how to give you the proper praise and the glory that you deserve. Thank you for the songs, for the psalms that you have given us that we can worship you with, especially in times like we're in. And thank you for being here with us, for you have promised that you'll never leave nor forsake us. And so here you are, filling us with your promised presence. And may your Spirit open our eyes and our ears and our hearts for what you have for us today. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, Psalm 100. Everybody's got their Bible. Everybody's got it opened up to Psalm 100. Now, I want you to read it out loud with me. And yes, I'll know whether you do it or not. So, Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. And all God's people said, amen. Now, notice, as we look at Psalm 100, one of the most famous psalms in the Bible, it starts out by telling us how God desires to be worshiped, and it ends by telling us why he wants us to worship him that way, why he wants to be worshiped that way. Those are the two major topics this psalm presents to us today: how and why to worship God. And so as we dive into the text, we see right away that Psalm 100 starts with a very simple word, shout. What does it say? Shout. I can't hear you. What does it say? Shout. Okay, so what does it say next in verse 1? Actually, the beginning of verse 2, it says, serve. And then after that, it says, sing. Shout, serve, and sing in verses 1 and 2. It starts, the psalm does, by telling us we ought to worship how? By shouting, by serving, and by singing. But the psalmist goes actually deeper than that, actually letting us how specifically we ought to do each of these. We ought to worship how? Shout to the Lord. Okay, how specifically? Shout joyfully. And notice also it answers, who is it that should be shouting joyfully? Everyone, the whole earth. Have you ever tried to be quiet? Have you ever tried to be soft when you're full of joy? Do we whisper praises to him? No. We loudly proclaim his praise, the psalmist says. And secondly, serve the Lord. How? Specifically, with gladness. Another way to praise God, another way he likes to be praised, is through service. Service to him. And again, is it begrudged service? Do we do so begrudgedly? No, we serve him gladly. We serve him with gladness. You know, personally, I've never served in any ministry where I didn't feel like I got more out than I actually put in. And yeah, that makes me happy. That makes me glad. Shout and serve and finally sing to the Lord. How specifically again? Joyfully. And this is a different joyful than shouting. Shouting joyfully, yes, well, it's just expressing yourself in almost any noise that you can, loudly, in praise. This is more of a structured way of shouting, of singing joyfully to him. So three verbs of praise in verses 1 and 2, as we come worshipfully into his very presence, as it says, as we come before him, and we do so with joy, with gladness, and with verbal expression. Okay, so that's how. That's how we are to praise. But what about why? That's a good question. We know how. The next is why. And to answer, look at verse 3 of Psalm 100. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. All the world over, these next 24 hours or these last 24 hours, around 2 billion people will gather to worship or have gathered to worship the Lord. And why? Well, verse 3 says it's because of these three reasons. Number one, because he is God, and he is worthy of that worship. God wants us to worship him daily, yes. But more specifically, we Christians gathered together on Sunday because Jesus was raised on a Sunday. Christian worship services are celebrations of the resurrection of the Lord, because that act, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, changed everything. That act defeated death. That act made a way for us to heaven. And so, yes, that act is why we specifically focus on Sunday as our day of gathering together and giving God the glory that He so richly deserves together corporately as one. The reason we gather at all is because He is the Lord. In Hebrew, the word of the Lord for the Lord God is Yahweh. The reason we gather to worship is because Yahweh is God, not Vishnu, not Krishna, not Buddha, not Allah. And commandment number one, the first commandment says, I am the Lord your God. I am Yahweh, and you shall have no other gods before me. No, not Sunday morning NFL football even, or Premier Soccer League even, or even Little League. We worship on Sunday because the Lord asks us to, and simply because He is God. And although this is as good a reason as any, it's not the only reason. It's because, number two, He made us. It says in the middle of verse 3, because He made us. There was a time when we were not. There was a time we did not exist. And now we do. Now we've come into being because the Lord brought us into being. We are His creation. What is creation to do? It's to worship Creator. It's to worship the Creator. And that's what we are asked to do. That's what we actually are impelled to do just by being created by Him. Now, a third reason that verse 3 says that we should worship Him, a reason why we should worship Him, is because we are His people. He says we are His people at the end of verse 3. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It actually says both. We're His peeps and we're His sheeps or sheep. You know, think about it. Today, 1 billion people worship Allah. 900 million worship Krishna. But we will worship the Lord our God. We will worship Yahweh, the God of Jesus Christ, the God of the Jews, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who created us and deserves our praise. Christians come to church because we worship the one who sent His Son. He is our good shepherd. We are His sheep. We can worship Him anywhere. We should worship Him everywhere. But specifically, we come together and worship Him as one, the one who is our God. So in hymnic form, we worshipers sing and shout and serve our Lord, or we sing and shout, perhaps as we serve Him, in His covenant relationship with His people. It's likely that this hymn, that this psalm was sung during one of the festivals, if not during all of the festivals, the three big ones at least, where the men gathered in Jerusalem. But it lacks specifics other than saying that it's a psalm of joyful thanks. It doesn't tell us when or where it was actually said, sung, shouted. But its position in the Psalms, its position after the Psalms that are proclaiming God's kingship in Psalms 96 through 99, suggests maybe that it functions as kind of a conclusion or a doxology of this collection that proclaims Yahweh as king, 96 through 100. And this is the culmination. Again, the doxology of that collection. And I love the simple structure of this poem. Notice how it's divided into two natural parts. We have first 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3, and then secondly, verses 4 and 5, each of which consists of an invitation first to give worshipful thanks. That's the how. Those are in verses 1 and 2 and verse 4. And then those are followed by a rationale of why to worship, a rationale for worshiping. Why do we worship? And those are found in verses 3 and 5. Remember back a couple weeks ago when I was introducing this series on Psalms, I said that when we write poems and lyrics and to songs in English, we use rhythm and we use rhyme to make the words flow, to make them sound good. But when the Hebrews write poems, when they write lyrics, they use what's called parallelism or synonyms. Synonyms is different ways of saying the same thing. They liked repetition, but repeating without using, actually repeating the same words. And that's what we see here in Psalm 100. It's an excellent example of this synonymous parallelisms. Verses 1 and 3 through 3 are followed by 4 and 5, which are patterned after and parallel to verses 1 through 3. As we look at verse 4 now, we see it gives three reasons how we should praise God, much like verses 1 and 2 did. And then it's going to be followed by verse 5, which gives three reasons why we should praise God, much like verse 3 did. So let's look at Psalm 100, verse 4, and it tells us how we should give praise again. It says, we should come actively to give praise. We should give credit where credit is due, and we should consecrate. Come, credit, and consecrate. Let's look at that. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Come to him. Come before him. Enter his gates. Enter his courts. It's an action caused by a deliberate choice that we make to come to God. We want to come and to be with him. We want to come into his presence. Some people we desire to be with because they're fun. They make us feel good. We feel unconditional love from them. And then there are other people we do not desire to be with. They don't make us feel good. They make us feel afraid. They make us feel bad about ourselves, or they make us feel bad about others. No, we come to God to feel God's love, and it's a choice we make. Secondly, credit. We come to give God credit for all he has done, for all that he has given us. We give him thanksgiving. That's giving him credit. Because he's done everything. He's given us all things. We're thankful for who we are. We are thankful for whose we are. And we want to give him the credit as a form of thankful praise. And lastly, we come to bless his name, to consecrate him. Bless and exalt and hallow his holy name, as verse 4 tells us at the end. When we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, what we're doing is we're consecrating him. We're consecrating his name. We're holding it up. We're blessing him. We're literally giving him a blessing that is due our Lord. So in verse 4, we have three verbs of increasing intimacy telling us how to praise God. And again, it's paralleling what we find in verses 1 and 2. So now, what do we expect to find in verse 5? Right, we found the hows. Now it's the whys that we should praise him the way that we do. And that, again, parallels verse 3. And yes, it actually does feed off of verse 3 and the knowing our Lord is God that verse 3 tells us about. Verse 5 feeds off that. What is it that we know? Not think, not hope, not wonder. What is it that we know is praiseworthy about our God? Well, verse 5 says, For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Number one, we know that God is good. Is that right? Do we truly know God's goodness? I pray you do. If God doesn't seem good to us, then we're not looking in the right places. Because Jesus himself says, no one is good except who? Except God alone. And this means apart from God, we can do no good. Apart from God, we are no good. But with God's Holy Spirit in us, with God with us, we can, because it's God who's doing the good. He's doing godly deeds in us and through us. He's transforming the good that's in us, and he's doing good things through us into the world. And why? Again, why is he doing that? Secondly, because we know that God is love. It says in the middle of verse 5, his loving kindness is everlasting. His unchanging attitude towards us. And his commitment to an ongoing experience of being and living with us proves his love. His sacrifice for us proves his love. And so, yes, we worship him. And we'll be worshiping him a long time. Why? Because it says his loving kindness is what? It's everlasting. It's everlasting. And it also says at the end of verse 5, and his faithfulness is to all and for all generations. So lastly, we know that God is faithful. That's why we worship him. We know that God is faithful. He is good, he is loving, and he is faithful. God is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning, he's the end. He was, he is, he forever will be. And if he is also good and loving, then he will be good and loving for a long, long time. He can't help it. He will be faithful because he is God. God can act no other way. God cannot be unfaithful. And so we'll be faithful to worship him forever, forever. God loves it when each of his people praise him. But he loves it best when we gather together to shout and sing his praises as one. I believe his favorite time of the week is when his people, the sheep of his pasture, enter his presence to give him his due. Well, if the Lord finds pleasure in the praise of his people, then we should be properly prepared when we come to worship him, when we enter his gates and his courts, properly prepared to praise, properly prepared to praise. And here are a few ways, things that we can do to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts to praise him. Number one, let's count our blessings. I mean, ahead of time. Let's know how blessed we are. Let's focus on that often. I have an email that was sent a while back, definitely before these strange times that we're living in. And that email reads, if we woke up this morning with more health than illness, we're more blessed than the 6 million who won't make it through the week. And that's before this pandemic. If we've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, we're more blessed than 500 million others in the world. If we can attend a church service without fear of persecution, arrest, torture, or death, we're more blessed than 3 billion others in the world. And again, that's before the pandemic. If we have food in the fridge, clothes on our backs, a roof over our head, a place to sleep, then we're richer than 75% of the world. And if we have money in the bank, money in our wallets, spare change in a dish someplace, we're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. These are a few things that we need to think about as we prepare to praise and celebrate our Lord. We are amazingly blessed, abundantly blessed. Now, I know life's not easy, even with all the blessings that we have. And Luke has Paul telling us in Acts chapter 14 that we must go through hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Yes. But we also know we are truly blessed. Secondly, let's set ourselves up for success, not for failure. For those who don't think much about it ahead of time, Sunday morning can turn into something like running a gauntlet. And by the time we get to the church's doors, we can't enter those gates with thanksgiving because we're too frustrated already. But what if we actually, consciously prepared for worship? What if we went to bed at a decent hour on Saturday night? What if we got up, got a full night's sleep so that we got up and came rested to worship? What if, to save time and stress, every member of the family picked out the clothes they were going to wear the night before and shower the night before as well? And what if, to save more stress, we set the breakfast table up and we put the cereal boxes out the night before? Not the milk, but the cereal boxes. Wow. If we prepared ahead of time, we might actually arrive before worship begins and arrive ready to worship. Number three, I call mind our manners. It's also true in worship and praise. We need to mind our manners. Our parents taught us to say please first and thank you second. But God wants us to say thank you first and please second. The truth is, God is always doing things for us. He is always abundantly blessing us. He is consistently and constantly helping us. So we should set up our worship services to thank Him first. And generally, that's what we do. We thank Him first. And then, after worship, we'll have a time when we come to give our petitions, to ask, please help in these particular areas. But part of minding our manners is practicing proper priorities. And we need to come ready to give thanks, to praise and worship. And then finally, number four, we need to be committed to being and living transformed lives. Being committed to being transformed and living a transformed life. I like the way the songwriter and worshiper Brian Dorkson puts it in his book that he wrote, I believe it was 10 years, probably, I think it was 2009, Make Love, Make War is the title of it. He says, being a worshiper means being a warrior. And by toning down our worship, what we've done is send men and women away from the church in droves. And it's time to call them back. Call them back to the worship, Dorkson says. Call them back as worshiping warriors, warriors who are surrendered to God, warriors who know that their authority comes because they are under authority, warriors willing to wait even when everyone else is rushing ahead, or warriors willing to act decisively in obedience to their commanding officer, who is Jesus Christ, especially when everyone else is lagging behind in disobedience. I love it. Worship warriors. I love it. You know, beloved, in Ezekiel chapter 46, Ezekiel 46, verse 9, God says this to the people about worship. When the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed festivals, whoever enters by the north gate to worship is to go out the south gate. And whoever enters by the south gate is to go out the north gate. No one is to return through the gate by which they entered, but each is to go out the opposite gate. Now that is interesting. Why would God say this? Why leave out a different door? After all, we probably parked our camels or our donkeys outside the door we came in. So why leave by a different door? Well, scholars believe that God said this because He's trying to communicate that we should not leave worship the way we came without being changed. Worship should change us. Proper worship, true worship, will change us. If we came into worship mildly committed to our marriage, we ought to leave completely committed to our marriage. If we came into worship slightly in love with God, we ought to leave head over heels in love with God. If we came into worship not knowing God personally, we ought to leave worship knowing Him as our Lord and as our Savior. Everybody ought to leave the worship experience changed. And beloved, God wants to be worshiped through praise. He wants to be worshiped through our service as well, our praise and our service. So let's shout, let's sing His praises, and let's sign up to serve Him in a ministry. It's true, God wants us to worship Him as a church together, and I believe that with this break that has been forced upon us, we'll return to gathering together with greater praise than ever before. So let's use the Psalms. Let's use the Psalms in this time that we have to help prepare us for that praise so that it will indeed be the greatest praise we have ever given. Amen. Bow your heads, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me as well. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of my praise today. You are worthy of my praise every day. And I worship you, Lord. And I want to serve you, Lord. I give you my life today. I affirm that you are my God, that you are God. And I want to be one of your people. I want to be one of your sheep, the sheep of your pasture. And I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I ask you to be mine. Be my Savior. Forgive me and fill me and use me. For I am yours. And it's your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
You saw my ashes, you saw your dream. I saw an orphan, you were my family. I saw my frailty, you saw your might. I saw my blindness, you were the light. You give me diamonds of praise, fullness of joy. Branches, you were the light. I saw my weakness, you saw your blood. I saw my failures, you were in.
Called me out by name. I was down till you picked me up again. I was wrong till your loving made me right. I was dead till you sang me back to life.
I was lost till you called me out by name. I was wrong till you loved and made me right. of joy, unending mercy, new every morning, garments of grace, fullness of joy.
Glad you were able to join us today for time in His Word and time in worship together. May in these uncertain times ahead of us, may we always be certain of what we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. May you just find blessing in each day this week as you walk in each of your days in trust to God, in deep dependency upon Him, and then just pour the blessing and hope that we have found in Christ out into those around us that we do come in contact with. This world needs to know it, and we have it. We don't need to live anxious lives.
We can live lives that are full and free in Jesus Christ. Let's be praying for our nation. Let's be praying for our communities. Let's be praying for those that are still suffering in many ways, financially and or in health. Let's just lift these needs before the Lord, for He can rescue us all and He can provide for every need. May you guys have a great rest of your day and week ahead. God bless you.